Let's turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 11. We have just completed chapter 10. We looked at the angel and John, and of course, Christ Jesus and the masses of people. And we ended with John eating the little book, which was sweet as honey in his mouth and bitter in his stomach. Now we start with chapter 11, and chapter 11 starts with the two witnesses and the temple of God. So let me just share my slides. Okay, and here we see between the sixth and the seventh trumpet. We saw the sixth trumpet concluding in chapter 9, and this is the interlude between the sixth and the seventh trumpet. We would like to start with verse number 1. Let me get to verse 1. And it reads, "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein." Verse number 2, "But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. So here we are being introduced to the temple of God. And here John is given a measuring rod. They call it the reed, which is like a rod. They didn't have all those fancy measuring tapes like we have today. And they measured that with a rod or a branch from a tree, a small stick. And John was asked to measure the temple. He said, measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship. I have a picture here of John being put to work. Apostle John has started the measurement of the temple. I've got a picture just to see what this temple area is and the outer court. And if you look at this, this is the tabernacle of Moses. And just to give an idea, this whole thing here is the temple of God. And this portion on the left till here is the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies is the Ark of the Covenant. This is the curtain between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. And here in the holy place, we have the altar of incense, the table of showbread, and this is the golden lampstand. The altar of incense is where it was symbolic of the prayer of the people rising up to God. And here, the table of showbread, they had six on each side, a total of 12 bread or loaves, signifying the 12 tribes of Israel. And of course, the golden lampstand, which was a light for the holy place. And here outside, we have the bronze laver, and that laver contained water, and that is for the washing of the priest before they go inside the temple. And this is the altar of burnt offerings. Now, I've got another picture of the laver. The priest usually washes his hands and feet before they enter the temple. I have another picture here, a priest with his attire, washing himself before he goes in. Now, this tabernacle, as we see, this is the altar of burnt offerings right here. So this is the gate through which he comes, and the people enter here with their sacrifices. We see the animals here along these edges kept here, And as the animals are ready to be sacrificed, they are brought to the altar here for the sacrifice. And after that, the priest washes himself, his hands and feet, and enters into the tabernacle. Another picture here of the tabernacle with the outer court. I didn't show you the outer court here. So this is the tabernacle. This is where the temple of God, this is the outer court. And here in verse number one, it says to John to measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. God is concerned about our worship for those that are worshiping there, and he counts them. But he says in verse number two, but the court which is without the temple, leave out. Do not measure this outer court, for it is given unto the Gentiles. The Gentiles have been given there, that portion to them, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 40 and 2 months. The 40 and 2 months amounts to 3.5 years. So we see that this chapter 11 brings us to mid-tribulation period. Again, a picture of the temple of God. This is the outer courts with the burnt offering site. And this is the brazen laver. And of course, these are the tents of the Israelites during their journey through the wilderness. I've also got here another picture, entrance to the gate, altar of burnt offerings. Here's the brazen laver. The priest cleans themselves, washes his hands and feet, and then enter the holy place and the altar of incense, candlestick, and the table of showbread. And this is the Holy of Holies, where the chief priest, the high priest, enter that for the atonement of sins. I've got a picture here. This is the Dome of the Rock. It belongs to the Islam people, the Muslims. This is where they come to worship their God. And those that have gone there have seen this Temple Mount. And the Temple Mount measures about 37 acres. It's a large space, 37 acres. And this Dome of the Rock was built between AD 685 and 691 by the Caliph or the Chief Abd al-Malik ibn Marwan. He was the one that built that. And so I've got a picture of the Dome of the Rock. This is the northern side, this is the south, and so this is the east here, and this is the west. As you can see here at the bottom on the left side is the western wall. This is where the Jews go and pray at the western wall. This is the Muslim quarters, this is the old city, and it is said that they will tread for or walk or use this area for 3.5 years. The people that have gone to Israel and to Jerusalem, they know that the travelers there, the visitors, and those that are staying there in the old city are mostly the Gentiles. They are the ones that are here. Now, let me show you this particular gate here. Look at this one here. This is the East Gate. This gate is presently closed. It is shut. And I have another enlarged picture. This is called the Eastern Gate through which Jesus entered. And there is, it's told that Jesus on his return at his second coming will enter through this gate, Eastern Gate. And it's amazing what they did to that Eastern Gate. What they did was they closed up this gate so that Jesus would not enter through this gate at his second coming. And this was done by the ordermen Sultan Suleiman in 1541. Isn't that amazing? As though Jesus can't just walk through this place here. But that was the reason, so that Jesus will not come in through that place. Again, a distant picture standing from the Temple Mount here. And this is the Mount of Olives, standing on the Mount of Olives and viewing the Temple Mount, and we can see that. Now, the third temple is to be built over here, somewhere around this place. And I am sure, keeping in mind that this whole Temple Mount is 37 acres. That's a big area, a large area of space. And the Solomon's temple was, the total square feet of Solomon's temple was 2,700 square feet. So do you think that we can accommodate 2,700 or even 4,000 square feet around here? Because it is said that the temple will be built north of the dome here in the northern area and to the east where the eastern gate is. So the eastern gate is also known as the Golden Gate, and another name that is known for is the Gate of Mercy. So let me show you another picture. This is the Western Wall, a picture of the Jews that are praying at the Western Wall. Another picture, aerial picture of the Dome of the Rock and the other areas, the Eastern Gate that I showed you before, again, overlooking from the Mount, from the Temple Mount. This is the Mount of Olives. This is where Jesus has been told in the scriptures to land on the Mount of Olives. I have another picture, this one I've just shown you. Got another picture also, the Eastern Gate again. And we see that this Eastern Gate is sealed. So what we've been seeing in the first and second verses of chapter 11, we see that John is told to measure the temple of God, the altar, and them that worship in therein, but not to measure the court, the outer court. Why? Because it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread on foot for 42 months. And those 42 months equals to about 3.5 years. So we are in mid-tribulation period time as we are looking at chapter 11. We have got 11 more chapters that will bring us to the end of the tribulation as we study the book of Revelation. And then we see in verse number 3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed with sackcloth. So now we see that the two witnesses are there witnessing. And the time that they are witnessing for a period of 3.5 years, that is the period of time that they would witness. And verse number 4, it says, these are the two olive trees. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. So we see these are the candlesticks here. And here we see the candlesticks and the olive trees. And we see pictures of the two persons here, which are the two witnesses. A lot of them have been wondering who the two witnesses will be or who they are. And we do not know who they are. It has not been revealed who the two witnesses are. But there is some suggestion from the Word of God. We may look into it as we go further. Verse number 5, it says, "And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeded out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have the power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will." So they have the freedom to shut the rain from the heavens, and also to change the waters into blood. So I put up this question: which prophet stopped the rain from heaven, and for how long? It was Elijah, for 3.5 years, given in 1 Kings 17 and 18. Which were the prophets that were able to turn water into blood? It was Moses and Aaron. So they question, who could these two witnesses be? These two witnesses will be on earth for 3.5 years. That is 1,260 days. So if they are witnessing for 3.5 years, the question is, which half of tribulation are they present? And it's possible, because it is the first half of tribulation, because we shortly see that they will be killed, the two witnesses of God. Here's a picture showing them blowing fire and brimstone out of their mouths. And I'm sure that will be a sight to see. And we won't be here, because we'll be taken up in the rapture. As I've mentioned before, we won't be here for the tribulation period. This is again a picture of the two witnesses here standing in the middle with the people surrounding them. They are probably hearing the message that they are giving out of the Word of God, or either they are protesting against their presence over there. So what symbolizes the olive tree and olive branch? It is peace, abundance, wisdom, and power. And let's go on to verse number 7, and we see, "And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them." So we see the beast that comes up from the bottomless pit will kill them, because the people of the world are tired, and these two witnesses have been tormenting them, and because they are going out and telling them to repent and turn around and follow Jesus. But they were tired, and finally the beast overpowers them and kills them. And we see a picture of the beast here, and he's the one that gets the best of him. He's the one that comes out from the bottomless pit. Now the question is, whether is the beast, which is he already there at this time? Possibly he is, because Antichrist probably comes to the scene after the rapture, shortly after the rapture. And so we see in verse number 10, and say, "And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth." You see, the people of the earth are so happy that they were killed, or they died, and the people of the earth will be celebrating with joy, because they couldn't stand the torment of the two witnesses. Now, it may be a good time as to think who the two witnesses are. Some say that it is Elijah, and the other one, some say it is Moses, some say it is Enoch. So some say it is Elijah and Moses, or Elijah and Enoch. Elijah and Enoch were the two that did not die and were taken up, but some say that it may be Elijah and Moses, as we see that they appeared together at the transfiguration, but we are not sure. But some say definitely Elijah is there. And so the two witnesses are killed. And in verse 11, it says, and after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies were beheld them. So they were rejoicing. They even giving gifts to one another. But the Spirit of God entered into these two witnesses. This is the Spirit, spiritualizing. And the Spirit of God entered into both of them. And these two that was witnessing in sackcloth was taken up to heaven. And Jesus said, come up hither. Just like he told John in chapter 3, come up hither, come up to heaven. And that's what we see here. So as we continue in verse number 13, and the same hour, there was a great earthquake, and the 10th part of the city fell, and the earthquake was slain of 7,000 men, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. Mm-hmm. So we see that at the same time that this happened, as they left earth and were taken up to heaven in a cloud, both these witnesses, as they were taken at the same time, there was an earthquake. A great earthquake, and Jerusalem was shaken by this earthquake. A tenth part of the city fell. Tenth part, one tenth of the city was destroyed, and 7,000 people were killed. 7,000 men. So I'm putting up the slide again of the tribulation population decline. We had come down till this place here in Revelation 9, 15, one third of the people killed, which is 1.5 billion, remaining 3 billion. So by the end of chapter 9, we have only 3 billion people left on this earth. We started with 6 billion after the rapture, or 8 billion before the rapture. 50% of the population of this earth within a short period of time, which is 3.5 years, it has been decreased. There are people today that want to depopulate this earth. They don't have to worry. It's just a few more years and it'll be done. And so we see that. And then here in Revelation 11, 13, we see 7,000 people killed in this earthquake. So that remains 3 billion minus 7,000. I didn't go on to calculate that, but I will let you do that. This is another picture of the earthquake. This is the earthquake that happens after the two witnesses have been called up by God. And then we see in verse number 14, and it says, the second woe is past. Verse number 14, the second bow is passed, and behold, the third bow cometh quickly. If you remember, we started the second bow in chapter 9 and verse number 13, where the sixth angel sounded. And after the sixth angel sounded, this is where the second bow is passed. And then the seventh angel sounded. So this is the seventh angel that sounds with the trumpet sound. Okay, it's the seventh angel sounding, the trumpet sound. And there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So here, with the start of the sounding of the seventh angel, the seventh angel sounding the trumpet sound, the blowing of the trumpet, it is saying that the kingdom of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord. Got some pictures of some of our cities. These are in the Middle East. These are the latest buildings that has been. I think this is in the city of Dubai. And there is another one. I'm not sure where this place is. Look at the shape of these buildings, amazing as it is. But what's going to happen is these buildings and kingdoms and everything is going to be under the control of our Lord. Of course, if the Lord comes down and say, I am the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, they're not going to agree with him, and they're going to set up war with him, or there's no peaceful transfer of power at that time. And in verse 15, it says, the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. This is the picture of Manhattan before the Twin Towers were taken out. And all of these would belong to our Lord and our God. This is the crown that he will reign forever and ever. Let's go and look at the other verses. And we see in verse number 16, it says, and the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell on their faces and worshiped God. You see, this is the throne of God. You might remember the picture of the throne of God, God here sitting in the middle, the 24 elders with their crowns. These are the four creatures or four seraphims and the seven lambs before the throne of God. And here, what are the seven, 24 elders doing? They fell upon their faces and they worship God. And here we see a picture of them falling on their feet and worshiping God, giving all glory to God and praising and saying in verse number 17, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and has reigned. When the seventh trumpet sounds, this is the last trumpet that will be sounded, and that's the seventh trumpet, and this will take us all the way to the end of the tribulation time, the coming of the Lord Jesus, and getting us into the thousand-year reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we see in verse number 18, and the nations were angry. Naturally, the nations will be angry because they do not want the reign of God. They do not want him to be here on this earth. They want to lead their own lives. And they were angry. And also they were angry because of the wrath of God that they have already sustained and those that is coming, which is the next seven bowl judgments that will be here shortly. And the time of death, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants and the prophets and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And so we see that the nations were angry. They couldn't stand this any longer, and they wanted to do their own thing. And so they were upset with God, and they did not want that. And then we see, again, the temple of God, the picture in the temple of God, and another picture of the Ark of the Covenant. And the last verse, in verse number 19, it says, and the temple of God was opened in heaven. Again, I have the temple or the tabernacle of Moses here that was opened in heaven, and there was seen in the temple the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant, the three things that are present in the Ark of the Covenant is the golden jar with manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tablets of the Ten Commandments. And what else do we read? When that happens, there was lightning and voices and thunderings and all of those were going on and great hail was going on. And so we see that God is ready for judgment upon this earth. And so in chapter 11, what we see is we see John measuring the temple of God. He only measures the temple, not the outer areas, because the outer areas have been given to the Gentiles for 3.5 years, and they will be there. For those that have been in Jerusalem or in Israel, and for those that have gone to Old Jerusalem, we find that the Old City, we find that most of the people that are there are Gentiles. They have already started treading in Old Jerusalem. And here the Bible says, don't measure the outer courts. It may be that the part of the outer court is where the Dome of the Rock is presently. And so they are treading those areas, and it will be soon belonging to our Lord, our God. So we see the two witnesses. When does the two witnesses come on the scene? It is quite possible after the rapture, shortly after that, we see that the two witnesses come on the scene. We probably see Antichrist coming on the scene. We see that Antichrist makes a deal, a 7-year deal with the nation of Israel. It is a peace deal, but he reneges on the peace deal at the end of 3.5 years, at mid-tribulation, and then we read about the abomination of desolation. And so we see that this is about the time he's going to do it. So we see these events that happen. So number one, we see that after the tribulation, we do not know exactly how long after. So these two come on the scene. Of course, the temple of God has to be built, and it wouldn't take very much time for them to build the temple of God. Why? Because they can do that, because today they can put up buildings in 2 to 3 months, at the most 6 months. They can put that up, and they have the freedom now to worship God, to do their sacrifices, but the Antichrist will renege on the peace treaty, and his image will be placed over there, will defile the temple, which God will not be happy. And of course, these are the events that will take place. And the Jews will realize during that time that they were tricked, that they were fooled, and that was not what the agreement was. And so they will start fleeing for cover at that time. Last slide here shows the hail and the lightning and all of those that goes on. And so that ends chapter 11 of the book of Revelation. And as I mentioned, we come to mid-tribulation in our study at chapter 11. So when we look at it, I still have a few more minutes. When we look at it in chapter one, we saw the Son, the glorified Christ. We saw that. Chapter two, we saw the church, four churches, which is Ephesus, Smyrna, we saw Pergamum and Thyatira. And then chapter three, we saw three churches, which is Sardis, Philadelphia, and we saw Laodicea. Chapter four, we saw the church being taken up to heaven, and we see the throne of God and the 24 elders. And chapter five, we see God on the throne with a scroll in his hand, with the seven seals, and the strong angel shouting loudly, "Who is worthy to come and open this scroll?" And there was only one, which was the Lamb that was slain, as was slain, with seven horns and seven eyes. And we see that he comes and takes that scroll from the Father. In chapter six, we see the opening of the seals. Six seals are opened. We had looked at it. And then before the seventh seal is opened, we see in chapter seven, we see where God is sealing his people. 144,000 are sealed, 12,000 from each tribe. And the only tribe that is not sealed is the tribe of Dan. Why? Because of their idolatry. And then we come to the eighth chapter, and we see the opening of the seventh seal. And with that opening, we see seven angels with the trumpets. And we see four of the angels, they blow the trumpets and the destruction on the earth. One third of those things that they mentioned is destroyed. And then in chapter nine, we saw the first war and the seventh, first war and the second war, which is the blowing of the fifth and the sixth trumpet. And then last Sunday, we learned chapter 10 about the book that John ate. And today we see John measuring the temple of God, just the temple, not the outer courts, because it has been given to the Gentiles. And we also see the two witnesses that was witnessing in the world, and they tormented the people because they were telling people to come to Christ. They couldn't stand that. And finally, the beast kills both of them. And then they lay in Jerusalem without a decent burial, and they are called up by God saying, "Come up hither," and they are taken up. And then we see the power of God, and we see much jubilation in heaven. So with that, we end today, and let me close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing us till chapter 11 of the book of Revelation. We thank you, O Lord, that you are sovereign. We thank you, O Lord, that you are our God and our Savior. We thank you. Father, help us to be able to tell people about the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, O Father, that you would light a fire in us so that we will be bold to tell them about Jesus. We don't want them to go through this tribulation time, which is so horrific, O Lord. So give us the boldness. Thank you once again for this evening. We ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. Amen.